Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever dreamed of one day becoming a speaker and sharing your knowledge and life experiences with others, but just didn't know where to begin? Then you've tuned into the right show. On Love That Speaker, you will hear from speakers in various stages of their journey to the front of the room. They will share some of their ups and downs, as well as tips and tricks to creating a talk and getting booked. So grab a cup of coffee and pen and notepad, because you will want to capture the invaluable information you hear on today's show. And now, here is your host today, Dr. Vicky High and Linda Ballesteros.
Hey folks, welcome to Love That Speaker. I'm Linda Ballesteros, and I'm co-hosting today with my dear friend, Dr. Vicky High. Hey Vicky, how are you today?
Great morning, Linda. It is wonderful, and I'm thrilled to be here.
Oh, I am excited to be here today as well. On our last show, we've been talking about some of the advantages of being a speaker and, you know, some tips and tricks. And last show we had some great ones. And this time we have some even better ones, Vicky. So today, Vicky, Dr. Vicky High, is going to address difficult people. Now, I know that none of us have difficult people in our lives, but just in case you run across one, then this is going to be some great information. So what do you have to tell us about difficult people, Vicky?
Well, I know that when you get so excited about a speaking engagement and you prepare and you do your best, and then you step up to either the podium or in front of the room, and all of a sudden that information that you put together feels like it's hitting a wall and just falling to the floor. I don't know if any of you have ever had that experience, but all of a sudden you realize, uh-oh, what do I do next? So sometimes people just keep on. They decide, they begin to read what they brought instead of speaking and connecting with the audience, but they also have a tendency to speed up. Have you ever had a speaking engagement that was supposed to be 20 minutes and you finished everything you had to say in 5?
What song and dance do I do now?
Well, yeah, and you just go, uh-oh, something's wrong here. So what I like to do is, have you ever heard that term before?
I have not, Vicky.
Micro expressions are those things that give our thoughts and actions away. And as you continue to develop your speaking skills, one of them is observation. And when you observe people, you can see on their faces if they're confused. If you look out in your audience and you have more than one person who's got a confused look on your face, I would say as a professional speaker, that's the symbol to say stop and address the confusion. You can ask questions. You can, you know, have a sense of humor about it. You can, you know, say, let me clarify, and then fill in the details until you no longer see that confused look on your audience's face. Another one is hostility. Have you ever, you know, I think about the political speeches that are going on right now, and all of a sudden you landed on a landmine, and you think, uh-oh, what do I do now? Because not only are they not an audience waiting for what you have to share with them, you have already drawn a line in the sand, and they have become hostile, and you're in hostile territory. So you have to know how to diffuse that. And one way is to communicate clearly. Another is to apologize if you overstepped. Another is to use a sense of humor to be able to speak to the issue as you are on the same side working together for a solution. I think that that is often, instead of being antagonists with each other, you can turn around and say, let's find a solution for this together. And that can often diffuse hostility. Another is, have you ever been in a situation where you make a statement and all of a sudden there's elements of surprise on everybody's face, like, what? She said that? And you go, oops, was I,
oops?
You know, oops. And so, you know, often you just kind of backtrack. You might do a little dance up there at the podium, whatever it is. You need to figure out what caused their look of surprise. And it may be that, you know, you've just said something that you personally think is true, but it's news to these other people and they're not expecting that news. So some of the other expressions, the micro expressions that come across in the facial gestures are resistant. You know, you might have a certain point of view and all of a sudden you realize that they're not buying into what you believe to be true. And so they're resistant to listen any further. And once they stop listening, you've lost them. So you have to figure out a way for them that shows that it's not that, you know, it's okay if we disagree. Sometimes I think it's a good thing because then the discussion can be opened for an exchange of ideas. And if we didn't automatically think that that was necessarily a bad thing, it can really open our eyes to what their concerns are and then how we see our concerns matching up or being different from them and provide solutions, you know, in a broader range. Also, have you ever talked to people and you're in the place of the speaker, but there's somebody in the audience that you know by their body language, they think they know more than you do on this subject?
Right.
And
right.
Sometimes they get bold enough, we call them hecklers sometimes, to start stating their opinion and overriding what it is you have to say. The thing is, he's not the speaker or she's not the speaker. You are the speaker. So how you present yourself with confidence and assurance and power that you're in that place, that you're there and they've either paid or asked you to be there to present your information, and they didn't ask that individual to do so, how you handle that is really important.
And, you know, Vicki, that's quite a challenge because if someone questions your position and you're from the stage, that puts you in a place where you better think fast, Rabbit, because you've got to come back with something where you're not going to lose your credibility in that split second.
Absolutely. And I know recently we saw where Joe Biden did that in front of cameras. It was very awkward, and everybody doesn't know what to think when you go that direction. One of the things that I like to do when somebody is acting out or heckling or, you know, usurping my authority as the speaker is that I look straight at them and say, I really appreciate your input. There will be a time for us to address your conversation, concerns, and suggestions at the end of the talk. So let's go ahead and continue with the next topic, whatever it is, and be prepared so you know, and you can, you know, rattle off the next point of discussion.
Because
and
you can't pretend
them in their place
that they
kindly.
And you can't pretend they didn't say something. Because then it makes you look like you're running from it, right?
Right. And actually what that does for the audience is that you just gave your power away to that individual in the audience. And they became inflated by the sense of power that they have taken the floor away from you. And it sounds ridiculous, except that that's what happens often because people get into power struggles because they want to. And they feel like that makes them, you know, that makes them look better in the eyes of the other individuals, more confident. So some of the other micro expressions just to be aware of is that people are bored. When people are bored, that's when I try to engage them. I can ask a question. I can ask a question of that individual or maybe ask them for suggestions about what they've seen in the marketplace if we're talking about, you know, a particular topic that they might have feedback on. I think engaging the audience, you know, because for one, if you're not the one that was called on, you might be the next time.
So
the bored feeling goes away because I need to be on guard in case she calls me next. And
right.
so typically that might have another benefit in that now they're listening a little more avidly to what you have to say. Also, you can see mixed signals. Like one person might have started off smiling and nodding their head, and then in the middle of the conversation or the presentation, suddenly they've got a you know, like a, I'm not that I agree with what you just said look on their face. So you might feel like that's a time to be clarifying your point, because you really want them to, you want the experience to be a good communication exchange between you and your audience. And so if you keep that in mind, then you certainly have a higher reliability factor. Some of the other ones are dismal failures. I know that you've seen this, maybe even had these experiences, where you get up to talk and it doesn't matter what you do. You just might as well take your stuff and go home. You know, and that, I think, is rare, thank goodness, because we as humans don't often go for the throat necessarily. But I think that sometimes either we're not prepared, we've had a bad day. I remember I was doing a training program down at a major oil company. I'll just leave that out. And I was sick as a dog. And the information that I needed to share was just not, I shouldn't have been there. I was totally not able to do what they asked me to do. And thankfully, one of my team was there, and I finally said, I can't do this. Will you take over? And that took a lot for me because I don't usually call it a day. But there are times when you're just not capable emotionally, mentally or physically to stand up in front of that group and give them what they need to be able to address that communication difficulty. And so it's interesting. I took a lesson away from that, and that is, you know, you need to take care of your own physical self to have the stamina to be up there in front of a group as well. Also, if people are disengaged, if they're on their phones, they're not listening to you. If they are, you know, playing a game on the iPad, then you've lost them. So you have to be in a place where you can engage them. So there are some things that I like to do, some tools that I keep in my briefcase. I like to use a lot of sense of humor. I think if people are laughing, they're more engaged in the learning, in the act of learning. Plus, if they're in a positive mood, they're not worried about the things that are happening in their lives. And more than that, their minds are open to be able to hear new ideas. I also think as a speaker, you have to be confident in the subject matter that you're presenting to them. You know, I don't believe that you read the information. I believe you are familiar enough with it that you carry on that conversation and that information with them because you're a subject matter expert at whatever it is you've decided you would talk on. Sometimes you wing it. You know, I know that with your confidence in your subject matter, sometimes people ask you a question and it's outside the scope of what you've agreed to present. So you have a choice of saying that's outside our subject matter, you know, and possibly alienating the individual that asked you the question, or you give them an answer that you're confident enough because you know your subject matter. And then you ask questions. Sometimes it's the, you know, sometimes people just need to be heard. And so you ask them if they have any questions, and they ask you a question that guides the conversation. And you can elect to, you know, answer the question or not. One of the things that I think is vitally important, and some of the best speakers that I've seen, are able to read the audience, engage with them, even if it's singling somebody out and having a ad lib role play right there in the moment. because you never know what's going to happen. But the confidence that you bring to your speaking engagement will allow you to be seen as the human being that you are. You know, maybe you'll make a mistake. Maybe you'll be seen as the most intelligent person they've ever met in their life. Maybe you give them tips and techniques that will make their jobs easier. All of those things help you be seen as a person that's easily connected to the audience, that shows up in authenticity. They're real. You know, they might even be a little Velveteen Rabbit-ish in that they are they're more real than polished.
You know, one of the things, Vicki, that I think come in handy when it talks about, when you're talking about engaging your audience, is a couple of things. You know, everybody is on their devices. So encourage them to get on their devices. Take a selfie.
Oh, yeah.
Tag each other. Be sure to tag the event. So if they're going to be on their devices, get them engaged on their devices. Another thing that I find is helpful in getting them engaged, or when they're asking some of those questions, is just tell a story. Oh, that is a great question. Let me tell you a story about that one. People love stories. You know, they just love to hear about other people. It's like we're nosy creatures, Vicki. And we want to know about other people. So be prepared to throw out some stories, too, to get your point across.
I think that is a great idea. And I'm laughing because somebody told me the other day, they said, Vicki, I've never known anybody with so many stories as you have.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't even occur to me, because that is such a natural part of my speaking toolkit. I didn't even think to bring that up. Because
right.
I do agree with you. I think stories are amazing. And I love the idea of engaging. You know, there's some really cool tools out right now that allow you to do some crowdsourcing of opinions and surveys while you're presenting your information. So, and because then everybody can get on their devices, answer questions, or provide feedback anonymously. And
mm-hmm.
it's all there for them, using their devices. So
Yeah, definitely.
Pretty fascinating.
Yeah, definitely. So, well, Vicki, we're coming to the end of our first portion of this. Was there anything else that you wanted to share with our listeners about difficult people or how to keep people engaged?
I think that you as an individual can really be powerful. And I'm going to use Dr. Phil's life law number 8. We teach people how to treat us. So when you stand in your power as the speaker and confident and authentic, then you give them the opportunity to see you exactly that way. If you feel fearful and insecure and not confident in what you're presenting, they're going to see you exactly that way. So they're following your example of how you treat yourself.
Very, very good advice. Very good advice. And as much as we've heard that saying, we don't really think about it so much as it applying from the to us as speakers. But you're exactly right. We set the tone from the moment we walk on the stage or in the front of the room.
Absolutely. And I think it's always a good thing to go engage with your audience before you formally take the podium or go to the front of the room. There is something really endearing about a speaker that's going to take the time to really, and it gives you insight into the kind of people that are in your audience before you stand up and address them.
Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about that on the last show, and I can't tell you how critical that is. If you're listening and you are thinking about speaking, and or maybe you're an entrepreneur and thinking about using speaking as a marketing tool, this is critical. Know your audience. Get out and mingle. Chat with them. Don't just step at the front of the room and expect to have that instant connection. Some people can do that, but it is much more difficult if you just step in the front to the front of the room without have introduced yourself to some of the audience. So that's a great point, Vicki.
Very good.
So, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break here and come back with some more information on how to leverage speaking as an entrepreneur to get more exposure for your business. So, Vicki, we'll be right back with more about being a big, good speaker on Love That Speaker.
Excellent.
Tune in every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help you take the next step in your relationship with Christ. Listen in to hear from others about their experiences of faith and the love of Christ. Call in to share your experiences at 347-989-1363. Learn more by going to toughtalkchristianradio.com.
Are you dreaming of owning your own business but just don't know where to begin? The wait is now over. All Things Franchising is the radio show that you've been waiting for. Whether you're looking to create a living that will allow you to leave corporate America, change your lifestyle by growing your business, allowing you to experience some of the fun things in life, or if you are looking to build a legacy that will support your family for years to come, Linda Ballesteros is your host on All Things Franchising, where she interviews franchise experts from around the world. We feature top franchisors, franchisees, attorneys, CPAs, as well as others who support this fast-growing business model. Go to our Facebook and Twitter pages to listen to past shows and join the conversations on All Things Franchising.
Do you know a family fighting cancer? The Jest Foundation nonprofit was founded right here in Katy, Texas, by cancer survivor Michelle Perzan, whose vision is to assist those currently fighting by providing grants to help support family needs, whether spiritually, emotionally, or financially. Michelle and her family know all too well that there comes a time when the day-to-day needs we take for granted become impossible. Jest Foundation has been able to bless 100% of the applications submitted, and now they need your help. Find out more by going to jestfoundation.org.
Ready to update your tired old kitchen or bathroom? Then you need to call Gambone's Custom Home Improvements. Gambone's does all phases of remodeling, specializing in kitchen and bath remodels. Gambone's Custom Home Improvements is a company you can trust. Family owned and operated with an A-plus rating with the BBB. Call Gambone's today, 832-437-8898, or check them out on the web at gamboneschi.com. That's gamboneschi.com. Gambone's Custom Home Improvements, where you will get quality work at a quality price.
Welcome back. When we broke for a commercial, we had discussed some tips for presenting and connecting authentically with your audience, even those audience members that might be considered hecklers. So I'm here, I'm Dr. Vicki High, and I'm here with Linda Ballesteros, and she is going to bring us some more information on how to be more successful in business by being seen as an expert. And that's a direct result of those speaking engagements. So, Linda, what do you have to share with us about being that expert?
Well, you know, Vicki, some of the things that we've discussed over the last two shows, and one of the big things is to make sure that you're speaking to the right audience. I tell this story over and over again that if I'm selling hot dogs and the best hot dogs in the world, I'm probably speaking to a room of vegans is not going to really be the best for my business, right?
That's right.
So we have to really know our audience, and we really have to customize that. One of the things that I do, even to this day, you may know your product, you may know your service, you may know your industry, but I have to tell you, you have to write this stuff out because it helps you with the flow especially early on. I have written every single one of my speeches out in longhand. I have created PowerPoints, and just to make sure that I, in my head, have a good, clear flow. Because just like you were talking about earlier, when people get confused, they can't follow your thought. And if you lay it out in a way that has a natural progression, and you see them nodding their heads along the way, then they're getting your message. So what I tell people, when you're an entrepreneur, you want to use speaking as a way to get more visibility. Don't talk about your business. I had this conversation just recently with someone, and you want to choose a pain point, and you want to speak on that pain point because everyone can relate to that pain point. So here's an example, Vicki. So if you have a product or a service that helps people with through holistic means in being healthier, there's a wide range of topics that you can talk about, and you can talk a little bit about so many of them that at the end of it, people are going to go, holy cow, what does she do? However, if you choose a topic that is common to most people, and I'm just going to say stress. Let's talk about stress. I am sure everybody that's listening go, oh yeah, I know stress. Oh yeah, I've got the kids at home. I'm trying to homeschool. Oh yes, I know stress. So you choose a topic. You talk about how that pain point impacts so many people and what some of the side effects are and how without that, you could live a better life. So you first start with the pain point. You talk about a solution. So for stress, maybe it's more exercise. Maybe it's better sleep. Maybe it is looking at your supplement regimen. Maybe that needs to be tweaked. So we've talked about the pain point. We've talked about a solution. And the next thing you do is say, oh, and I have that solution. And you talk briefly on that piece of it. You want to be seen as the expert, not in the product that you're selling as much as the pain point. Because if you know more about what their needs are, they're willing to listen. But if you are standing from the front of the room, from the stage, and all you're doing is talking about your program, your supplement recommendations, what you're selling, then that's what it's going to sound like, Vicki, is a sales job, is that you're just up there selling your product. You want to educate them.
Isn't that the truth? I can tell you that, you know, there are people that are in sales, and that's great and wonderful, but when you're coming to listen to a speaker, that's not what you want to hear. What you want to hear is advice or guidance. Pain point is really important. Linda, thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah.
Some other tips that you have
right,
for us.
Right. I think I'm going to go back to being more of an educator, because an educator will present the pain point. They will present a topic. So if you're an entrepreneur, think about putting together a workshop, and maybe it's a free workshop. Maybe it's a free one-hour workshop that you host at your local chamber of commerce, and it's on a topic. So you're an attorney. Attorneys are really not the kind of people that most of us gravitate to. Let's be honest. You know, so we want to create a workshop that people would want to come to. No, you're not going to, you want to make sure that the title is something that would attract them. Estate Planning 101. I am telling you, that sounds like a snoozer, and I haven't even read the description. So you want to come up with a name that's going to draw people in. How to plan for my death. I don't know, but you got to come up with something that's going to snap people's attention, because there are too many of those, estate planning 101, marketing 101. How many of those do you guys see every day? A lot of them. So why is it that you don't stop on them? Why is it that you don't drill down? Why is it you're not attending? It just doesn't sound like something interesting. So I think you mentioned this earlier, Vicki, that there has to be some humor in there. Put the humor in your marketing material too. Leave them with a question at the end of it. Maybe the title is a question. You know, what is your family going to do if you get hit by an 18-wheeler? I don't know. There has to be something in there that is not typical. It has to catch their attention.
One of the things that jumped into my head would be a catchy title is, "Yesterday I died. What did I leave undone?"
There you have it. I love that.
I would tune into that.
Of course. Of course. So you do have to get a little creative in that. But folks, we've got the time right now to get creative. We are sitting at home in front of our computers. Most of us still have internet. So take advantage of this downtime. Rework some of the presentations that you've been delivering. Think about what you could do to jazz it up. I know we don't think of CPAs being jazzy, but guys, you got to be jazzy to get people's attention. There's a lot of competition out there, and you have to get noticed. Vicki, another great way to get noticed is to participate in a panel discussion on a topic. I love panel discussions because it allows me to be seen as an expert, but I don't have to carry the whole thing. I'm not doing a 30-minute talk. We are playing off of each other. When someone says something, you can chime in. It's more organic. And it, as long as you know your material, Vicki, I think it's a great way to be seen as an expert.
You know, it's funny you should say that, Linda. I watched an online summit recently, and I got more information from the panel discussions than I did from the individual speakers. And they were very engaging, and it made me want to reach out to them. So I think you've made an excellent point in that.
So, Vicki, why were you more intrigued and drawn into a panel discussion, just out of curiosity?
The speakers were engaging with the information they had, but one thing that left a lasting impression on me was that they were supportive of each other, and yet they each had niches that they were able to speak with authority, but they also thought, you know, they had that kind of chemistry that showed you that something one speaker on the panel said, the other speaker was going to engage and do that same thing. It was like they were using the tips that each of them shared.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
And again, that also delivers the information in a collaborative way. So you have people, maybe you have a CPA, an attorney, a business consultant. You've got several people that the same audience, but they do something a little bit different, and they all have a piece of the puzzle, because one person doesn't have all the answers. So as the audience, they end up getting more information because they see all they get the information from a lot of different perspectives of this one position. So I encourage anybody to really either seek out, if you can't find a panel discussion that you can participate in, I say put one together. Put one together with some of your referral partners and say, hey, let's put this together and everybody invite their clients to this. That's what I would suggest.
I think that is an excellent suggestion, because I do think that sometimes having a panel discussion from a speaker's advantage also alleviates that pressure that you can sometimes by listening to one of the other panel speakers, then other ideas come to you, you know, organically.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think also to present yourself as an expert, I still think stories can tell a lot. Well, let me tell you about this guy that I was working with a few months ago. And you go and you tell that story and how you worked with this person to get through their pain point and some of the suggestions or some of the things that they implemented that you had recommended and where that client of yours is today. So I believe that telling those stories can also tell the story of you being an expert without you even saying it. You're just telling the story.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a really good way to communicate too, because I think that people naturally see themselves in the story in some role, whether they identify with you as the speaker, with you, with your client, or, you know, the other characters that are in the story. I think that's why stories appeal to us so much.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Well, Vicki, we're coming down to the end of the show. I just love doing this with you. I am just so honored to be able to spend time with you and share some of our experiences with our listening audience. And I want everybody to also know that it is not going to always be the Dr. Vicki and Linda show, that we are going to be bringing in speakers. We have a couple of more shows, and then we're going to be bringing in some pretty high-powered speakers that you'll be able to learn from as well. So is there something else you want to share with everybody, Vicki, before we leave?
I was just going to give them a brief peek into our next show. It's going to be about how to make strong first impressions, how to conduct effective business meetings, how to attract the people that you want to be, you know, in business with, these dynamic individuals that are the movers and the shakers, that have great personal energy and power. And then maybe how to overcome that fear of public speaking. Because I think in this day of communication, we have to become good communicators. And sometimes that will lead to overcoming that fear. So we're going to talk about that. I love the information that you today, Linda. Thank you so much. Is there something that you would like, a final tip or a review or a point that you'd like to make before I do the quote for the day?
Well, you know, I just want to remind people that when you are out, when we're talking about speaking, that speaking opportunity may not be from the front of the stage. It may not be from the front of the room. It may just be presenting to a client. So all the information that we're talking about on Love That Speaker, just think of that as tools or tips and techniques that you can use when you're just delivering a presentation to a client.
Excellent. Excellent advice, Linda. Thank you so much for that. So here we'll leave you with our quote. In the last analysis, what we are communicates far more eloquently than anything we say or do. And that is attributed to Stephen Covey, who is the author of The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. So we appreciate you being with us today. We welcome you back to our next show. Let us hear from you, feedback. And until next time, this is Dr. Vicki High and
Linda Ballesteros.
Wishing
we'll
you
next
a
time.
Great day.
Absolutely. See you next time, folks, on Love That Speaker.
Have you ever been moved by a speaker who touches your heart? What are the unique talents that set them apart from other speakers? Do they have some magic formula for connecting? Do you want to become that kind of speaker? Dr. Vicki High and Linda Ballesteros have a winning combination to present speakers that want people coming back for more. Together, they command a room, engage with audiences, and value laughter as a means to educate, inform, and entertain. If you'd like to learn from these two experts, join us to become a speaker who leaves the stage with Love That Speaker on everyone's lips. Email us at lovethatspeaker@gmail.com for more details. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.